Olson versus Colvin. Ms. Rose. No, Mr. Rose, sorry.
Good morning, Your Honors. Counsel. My name is Ashley Rose. I represent the plaintiff appellant in this case. Ms. Olson challenges the ALJ's decision on two broad grounds. First of all, that her credibility determination was patently wrong, and that her RFC determination was erroneous. Ms. Olson was 45 years old on the date that she alleged that she became disabled, which was for April 10th of 2004. The ALJ, when you read the ALJ's decision, you're taken by the fact that when the ALJ very scrupulously and with great detail delineates the medical record. The one thing that she fails to do, however, it would appear, is that she doesn't analyze the record as to how the medical facts do or do not limit the claimant's ability to function. For example, the RFC determination was medium work, which means that, according to the Social Security parlance, it means that a person would be able to lift up to 50 pounds and on a frequent basis 25 pounds during, to keep in mind, during an 8-hour day, 5 days per week. Now, in Social Security parlance, frequently means from one-third to two-thirds of the time, which translates into four to 6 hours out of an 8-hour day. And the ALJ said that Ms. Olson could frequently climb ramps and stairs, and that she could occasionally climb ladders, ropes, and scaffolds. It's hard for me to imagine a 45-year-old woman who has alleged disabling pain for several years climbing ropes or scaffolds in any case.
To climb a scaffold?
Well, I think that that is referring to the construction industry when there's some kind of a, like when painters have to go up on, they put up a scaffold to reach like the second or third floor of a building. Sometimes it's a minimal scaffold. Sometimes it's a much more complicated scaffold. But to climb it, I have no idea. I don't know. You see that mantra over and over and over again in these
boilerplate. Yeah.
Right. It's boilerplate. And
I assume the ALJ's ultimate decision was that she could go back to her work as a cosmetologist, right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Where probably there's not a lot of ropes and scaffolds involved or ladders.
Yes, I think you are quite correct.
Okay. However, it's an oddity in the opinion. I just don't know how.
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, as a cosmetologist, she would be cutting men's and women's hair and would obviously be standing in one place pretty much most of the time while she was doing such activity. When she says occasional climbing of ladders, ropes, and scaffolds, that occasional, once again, has significance in Social Security parlance, meaning from zero to one-third of the time, which means not at all or up to 2 hours out of an 8-hour day. And then she goes back to saying frequently, balance, stoop, kneel, crouch, crawl. The problem here is that there's no medical evidence adduced by the ALJ to show that this claimant is capable of doing any such thing.
Counsel, we've just established that was not really important to the judge's decision here. It was sort of an anomaly in the opinion, so maybe we should address what the judge did decide, which is that she can perform her past relevant work as a cosmetologist.
Well, yes, I don't think it's irrelevant, because she's trying to say that Ms. Olson has the physical capability of doing that exertional kind of work, which would then mean if you can do that, then you can do light work or sedentary work, which is, of course, by definition of the Social Security Administration. If you can do the highest, then you can do those that are included within it. But the ALJ has focused in her delineation of the medical evidence, first of all, upon five different MRIs, the first one of which was in August of 2004, which was a little later than the onset date alleged by the claimant, in which that MRI said moderate herniation at L4, herniated disc at L5S1. She also talks about another MRI, which was done in September of 2006, which revealed degenerative disc disease. A third in 2007 was a bulging or herniated disc, which was compressing the fecal sac. Later in 2007, an MRI revealed mild degenerative changes, and in 2009, finally, there was a disc protrusion. Now, one would think that those kinds of physical problems revealed by the MRIs would have supported her allegations of disabling pain. She says that she would have to lie down during the day for a couple of hours because of the pain, that she was not able to, as time progressed, she was not able to continue to do with the same exertional effort the activities of daily living, such as cooking, driving, things of that nature. She almost never drove. The ALJ does not at any point begin to support a functional analysis with medical evidence. That is, how long can Ms. Olson actually sit? How long can she stand? How much can she really lift? I'm sorry. How much can she really lift? And so on and so on. Can she concentrate for periods of time sufficient to give her the capacity to do either medium work or light work, as the case may be? And especially as a cosmetologist, she would have to be able to stand for at least 6 hours out of an eight-hour day.
Mr. Rose, could I ask you some of the strongest evidence for the claimant here seems to be the opinions of the physical therapist, Ms. Gadsden.
Mrs. Gadsden, correct.
And the ALJ indicated that in 2008, Ms. Gadsden thought that she was capable of working again. I'm looking at page 25 of the appendix, which is page 10 of the ALJ's opinion. And I'm wondering, if given that comment, that seems like a reasonable basis, at least superficially, for discounting some of Ms. Gadsden's other or earlier opinions.
Yes, I think that what we see here in terms of Ms. Gadsden's report there, which was in April of 2008, was what happens with people who suffer from these back conditions, which is recurring. It can get better. You can have better and worse days. What I think is also very interesting is that later on in her decision, she discounts Ms. Gadsden's and says that she is not a proper medical source because she's not a doctor. She's only a therapist, and so forth.
So well, that's right, but yes. She's not being discounted entirely. But
correct.
Given that she provides yes. some very strong evidence, but then also says, I mean, help me understand this evidence. Where your best person is quoted as saying she's capable of working again.
Well, I don't know really what to say, except that I think that that was an opinion that was rendered after some of the more recent degenerative changes and disc protrusions that they had returned. So that at that point, and also it doesn't say exactly Mrs. Gadsden doesn't actually say what she whether she meant working full time, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rose.
You,
Spence. What does climbing scaffolds mean?
I have never, to my knowledge, climbed a scaffold in my life. I assume that it does, in fact, refer to the sort of things they set out outside
the
construction.
How do you climb it?
There are
ladders on the side.
Yes, usually there are ladders or bars across.
Why does the boilerplate say ladders, ropes, and scaffolds?
Judge Posner, I do not know why that particular boilerplate to use, and it is
Are
not
you
relevant.
Are you defending an opinion that you don't understand?
Judge Posner.
What is climbing ropes?
Pardon?
Climbing ropes.
Judge Posner, I believe.
Occasional climbing of ladders, ropes, or scaffold. What is climbing a rope? Is that hand over hand?
I believe that is usually how one climbs ropes.
Do you think this person can climb a rope hand over hand?
The only doctor
who... No one in this room could climb a rope hand over hand.
As a practical matter, Judge Posner, I agree that there are probably very few people who can climb ropes on an any regular basis.
She isn't one of them.
Pardon? Judge Posner, as a person...
This person is not one of them. Professional athletes can climb ropes. She can't climb ropes, even occasionally.
Judge Posner, as a regulatory matter, I can only say the only physician who expressed an opinion on this matter said she could. As a practical matter, I would tend to agree. Pardon?
Climb a rope?
That is what the opinion said. As a practical matter, it is irrelevant.
I don't consider it irrelevant to be dealing with an agency that writes perfect nonsense in its opinions.
Judge Posner, the case law clearly says that an ALJ
can't climb ropes, ladders, or scaffolds occasionally.
Assuming she cannot climb ropes, I will concede that for the purpose of this argument, assuming she cannot climb ladders, ropes, and scaffolds.
For purpose, do you know what's involved in climbing a rope?
I know that I couldn't do it. And Judge Posner, it is not, the ALJ never ascribed work that said she could. The ALJ found that she could return.
Said she could.
In the RFC. Assuming that the ALJ, assuming that's error, it is harmless because the ALJ specifically found she could return to her past work as a cosmetologist, which requires no postural activities, no climbing of any kind. The case
that's
law.
Fine. I'm just disturbed by seeing unbelievable statements in every Social Security ALJ opinion. Because this must be one of your templates, right?
It is a form. It occurs on a form. Yes, it is used nationally.
Is there any job in the modern economy that requires rope climbing?
Tree trimming, maybe.
No, it doesn't. I've never seen tree trimmers climb ropes to get up. Mm.
The point is that the case law says very clearly the ALJ's decision should be evaluated as a whole, and that
just
the court
should not. Just wonder about what kind of minds we're dealing with here. How could a person write an opinion in which contains a piece of absolute nonsense?
The question is, Judge Posner, is that have an impact on the ultimate decision that she could perform her past relevant work. The case law, as I said, is very clear that a specific detail should not, courts should not focus on a specific detail.
I think your point is fine, you know, harmless error and all that. I'm just puzzled.
Judge Posner, I see the forms. I do not know why they are used. I do not know whether there is any process in modernizing or updating them. I cannot answer your question as to why they continue to be used.
Okay.
I
will drop the point.
Thank you, Your Honor.
For now.
In this instance, the question, however, was whether the ALJ properly supported her conclusion that Ms. Hamilton could return to her past work as a cosmetologist or alternately to other medium works. One of the issues that Ms. Olson did not mention is the fact that the only physician who expressed an opinion said, the fact that the medical evidence shows that she has no difficulty in walking, retains full range of motion, and retains full muscular strength means that she can do medium work. The ALJ accepted that opinion. That was the opinion of the state agency physician. In this instance...
Did that doctor examine her or just look at the records?
That was a reviewing physician who...
Review the records.
Who reviewed a reviewing physician, but the regulations allow the ALJ to rely on that evidence, particularly where, as in this case, there is not another physician opinion which contradicts that. The only other physician who expressed an opinion, Dr. Kanuru, admitted in his opinion that he filled out the opinion based on a telephone conversation with Ms. Olson, and that the ALJ's decision to reject that opinion has never been challenged at any level of this case. The ALJ also noted in other parts of her decision that the evidence did not support Ms. Olson's statement that she dropped things frequently. She could not use her hands on a regular basis. That's one of the key functional analyses that she based both on the medical evidence, where the doctor said even before she had carpal tunnel syndrome, she retained full grip strength, sensation, reflexes in her hands, and also on the ALJ's observations at the hearing, which may properly form a part of the analysis. Having concluded that Olson's allegations about her inability to use her hands on a regular basis were not credible, the ALJ appropriately determined that she did not have significant limitations, manipulative limitations, and that supports the functional analysis. Again, the ALJ did not simply rely on the state agency physician's decision. As I said, the state agency physician said the fact that she has no difficulty walking, muscle strength, and so on, supports my finding. The ALJ pointed to other instances in the record from 2006 up through 2010 that showed the same results. She pointed to evidence that the medical evidence indicated that her condition had not deteriorated significantly from 2007 to 2009, and reasonably relied on those in determining that Olson retained the residual functional capacity to return to her past job as a cosmetologist. And the question, I do not believe that this is a case where the ALJ did the bare minimum. I think this is a good opinion where the ALJ went through the evidence and appropriately tied her evidence, her decision to the evidence in the record. But the question is, does the evidence that Olson was obliged to commit compel a different result? I do not believe that it does in this case, that the ALJ's decision is reasonable, and she appropriately describes the path of her reasoning and also gives good reasons for explaining why she believed that Olson's testimony as to the extent of her limitations was not credible. If the court has no further questions, I would say again that I would request that the court affirm the ALJ's decision because she appropriately explained her determination, appropriately considered the medical, and appropriately considered the medical evidence.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Benz.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Rose, time had expired. If you have anything further, you could have a minute.
Just one observation with regard to the credibility issue, Your Honor. I didn't go into it previously. But with regard to whether or not Ms. Olson was not credible because she claimed that she dropped things because of this carpal tunnel syndrome, which came back, by the way, the only way that the ALJ knew anything about whether she didn't drop things was by observing her at the hearing, where the ALJ alleged that she had seen Ms. Olson with a bottle of water, picking it up, drinking from it, I guess, but not dropping it. Now, I don't know. I think that is really kind of silly myself, because what Ms. Olson is talking about is things that would happen in her own course of daily life, but at a rather unusual situation in connection with an administrative law judge hearing. The fact that she didn't drop something at that particular time, maybe she wouldn't want to be embarrassed by so doing.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Rose. We'll move to our next case.